Okay, and that's it. Now we're live. So now all the nervousness sets in. How you doing?
Great.
There's something about that red button that makes people nervous, huh? When you hit that record.
Is it the color red?
The color red, maybe.
It's probably the color red and just like this sense of like, oh no, how am I going to screw this up? Oh God, oh God, oh God. It's the worst thing in the world. Jesse, why are you looking at us like menacingly? What is up? You're leaning too much into that beard color.
I'm not going to do the introduction, and I'm not going to let you do the introduction. I want Monique or Naveen to take claim of it. So, just for the record.
And they look at each other for approval.
They did. They did glance at each other.
No, that was a glance of, you're doing this.
I don't know what to say. I'm nervous.
You know what the problem
now
is?
I'm really nervous.
We don't know where.
Now you're thinking of the red button again.
Yes.
You can't focus on it.
I need you to take over here. Let's see if I stumble through this. I was always, you know, whenever in school when they would say popcorn. Did you guys ever do popcorn in school?
What is popcorn?
What?
Okay. You don't know popcorn? Popcorn
is... No, what is popcorn?
Look, he's from Puerto Rico. Oh, he doesn't know this American thing.
So when you're all...
popcorn is.
You just asked, what is popcorn? Play that back.
Aside from it being a delicious movie theater snack, it is basically when you're all sitting in class, there's 30 of you there, and the teacher says, okay, we're going to read out loud. And so you are assigned to read. Let's say they say, okay, Jan, you're going to be reading. Whenever you're over it, you can say the word popcorn and then assign that reading assignment out loud to somebody else, another classmate. That was called popcorn.
I'm going to use this on the weekly quack.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Yeah, you could totally do it. People know what you're talking about. And then anytime it was popcorn Naveen, I would instantly be mortified.
Poop his pants.
Like terrified to read out loud. So this is why this is terrifying
Great.
Me right
That's
now.
That's like the so hitting try. The red button. Popcorn right. Naveen.
Popcorn Naveen.
Welcome to Popcorn Naveen.
Welcome to Played It Once, a podcast about games we've only played once. The reality is that most board games only make it to the table one time, and first impressions matter. So we made a podcast about ours. I'm your host, Naveen Sharma. With me is legend himself, Jan Bigas, Jesse Anderson, and my wife, Monique Makassar.
Hello, hello.
That was really good. And you also forgot to say from before you play, Naveen and Monique from before
yeah,
you
where
play.
Where were we at? Well, we are from before you play.
From before you play.
Hello.
And Jesse, why are you looking at me like that? What's going on, man?
Jen, you know I like looking at you.
Well, just don't do it in front of other people, bro. You gotta bring down the intensity, man.
Don't let us keep you.
I'm just super excited. I think this is our first ever couples podcast.
That's right. It's like a double date. Yeah. It's a virtual double date.
Three cities, two couples.
Good job, Jesse. Yeah. Now I'm uncomfortable. Oh my gosh.
I mean, embarrassed, uncomfortable. They're about the same thing. Whatever the case, in Played It Once, we touch on three fundamental topics. For anyone who is brand new listening to the show for the first time and thinking, dear God, what have I stumbled into? An introduction to the featured game, which in this case is going to be the Great Western Trail, the context in which we've played it, which, of course, for all of us is one time and one time only,
of course,
and our overall opinions of the experience. And then the script continues to say that in this week's featured game, I've already introduced it. So
good job, Jesse. I love how you're following that script. I think you guys have already covered this game. So how about you give us a little intro to today's game?
Yes. So Great Western Trail is a game designed by Alexander Pfister. If you are all familiar with him, are you familiar with Alexander Pfister?
I know who that is.
Well, he's done a lot of games, and so this is one of his heavier designs, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of his most popular ones, right?
It is one of the more prolific ones in his catalog. For sure.
So in this game, you are doing what the title says. You are embarking on this Great Western Trail. You are picking up your cattle, and you're bringing them over to Kansas City in order to ship them elsewhere and make some money.
Make some cash. There's
a lot more than that. It features a board that's sort of a rondelle of sorts in terms of the way that your meeples move towards Kansas City and then back home. And you kind of do that revolving movement the entire game until it's done. And there are a lot of different ways to score points. It's partially hand management, partially deck building. There's a little bit of a worker placement
in
it, action selection. It's kind of like a hodgepodge of mechanisms that just somehow works.
And so the way that you win this game is by victory points as well. You're either trying to collect victory points by collecting special tokens that have victory points on them, either by collecting cows that also are worth victory points. And I think, by the actual train track, and finally by secret objective cards as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm pretty sure everything you do is in some way or form. I mean, like a classic Euro, yep. like everything you do in some way or form is worth victory points.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. There are multiple paths to victory, I suppose.
Yes.
It just depends on which way you go. Like, you can build buildings and those are also worth points.
Yeah. Cows, towns, secret objectives, railway tracks, where you've been able to invest your coin, whether or not you have excess coin, mm-hmm. All of those are going to be worth victory exactly. points. Mm-hmm. So, and even your workers, if you're able to get high enough on that worker track, those will even convert into victory
That's
points
right.
as well.
That's
so
right.
literally everything you're
Jesse,
doing.
Jesse, I'm telling you, one day we will cover a game that you do not win through victory points, and that day people will be like, oh, I'm so glad Jan always explained how you get victory points in games. I'm telling you, it's gonna happen. And for people that have not played the Great Western Trail, basically how this goes is that on your turn you have basically three phases. The first phase is moving, the second phase is actually taking an action, and then finally drawing up cards back into your hand. So mm-hmm. the way that usually works is that when you move, the board kind of starts almost empty. As Monique very well said, it's almost like a rondelle. So when you move your character, you're only going to stop in places that are physically there.
Yeah, places that have either buildings that are actually going to be the actions you can take, or obstacles and hazards which slow down your progress and potentially cost you something in order to go down that pathway. But there will be bonus actions that you can take if you land at a building that is beyond a more hazardous road. So as you're progressing, that second phase of the game is going to be really interesting because, like Jan said, the board state's going to start very empty. It's going to be open-ended, and you're going to be able to travel down that pathway quickly. But that becomes more restricted and more challenging the more people who have developed yep. little settlements or structures throughout the game state. And those settlements and structures that you're building are going to be one of two types. Either generic ones that anyone can utilize, or player buildings. Mm-hmm. Those player buildings, if they're your opponents, only impede your progress or potentially tax your movement. Mm-hmm. For yourself, however, those player buildings are going to be actions that you can utilize that become more powerful as you either upgrade and level them up, stacking them on top of each other, or as you place them in very key and purposeful locations throughout that trail. And then that third point,
yeah, and the final thing that you do is drawing up cows. Some of the actions that you're doing are going to require you to play cards, and basically you're also trying to go like spend cards that are not really worth that much so mm-hmm. that when you get to the end, which is Kansas City, you have the highest amount of cards available in your hand, and also, very important, different types of cows before you make it there.
That's right.
There's a really interesting hand management nature to this mm-hmm. game, combined with that point salad Euro-y. Mm-hmm. And then, Monique and Naveen, you all pointed out the rondelle. I hadn't even thought about the fact yep. that this is actually a revolving
yep,
track
exactly.
in that mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really simple way to describe it, but it really fits.
Yeah. yeah. And you do go 100% in a loop, which is fascinating. So, guys, how about you give us an idea of when you played Great Western Trail for the first time? Give us a little bit of a context.
Well, the only time they've ever played it.
Of
right?
course, they've only played it once, right?
Just once.
Well, there were a couple onces, but then the yeah. very first one.
Wait. What do you mean a couple of onces?
No. I think that's accurate. I think that's you played it once and then once again.
Yeah.
How many onces have you played?
There are maybe a few onces.
More than one hand's worth.
Oh,
perhaps.
My God. Okay. Why are we even doing this then? Jesse, I thought that when we were inviting people, we would make sure that they only play the game once.
No. I'm pretty sure they've only, if you listen to them very closely, accurately, yes. I'm pretty sure they've just played it on a revolving rondelle pattern, which means it's only, they've only went down this path once.
Right. It's like the infinite once.
Correct.
So what was that? How did you first become introduced to Great Western Trail? And what has that first play environment been like for you? How'd you learn it? Who taught it to one another? How many people have you played it with? Ooh. In all of your various onces.
So it was definitely a doozy the first time.
Our true once was like a couple years ago. I think it first came out.
Yeah, and probably late 2016,
yeah,
early 2017.
We were at a local convention. Yes, it had just came out. At a local convention, and it was like in our local convention here, they have a library where you can like borrow games and check them out and learn to play them, etc. for the weekend. And that was like the hot item of the library. Mm-hmm. So we borrowed it, and I said, okay, guys, it was me, Naveen, and then one other friend. So it was three players. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read it and then we're going to play it. And then so we'll just like meet up again in 20 minutes and we'll play it. So I sat down.
Yeah.
Sat down and I opened the novel that is the rule book. Mm-hmm. And I was like reading it.
It is chunky.
And as I was kept on reading it, and the further and further I got, the more I was like, wow, I'm reaching a point of no return and I'm having regrets, but I have to keep going. So I finished it. I taught the game and it didn't go too well.
No.
Oh.
It did not go well.
Oh, no.
Not that first once.
Yeah, because you were also reading the rule book without having the pieces set up.
Yeah.
The board wasn't set up. It's just pure book. I know nothing about this. I don't know what anything looks like. And if mm-hmm. anybody's ever seen this rule book, it is just big box text.
It's
next
a novel.
Big box text.
Yeah.
And it just really goes on and on for about 20 pages.
Yes.
So, Naveen, what was your first play experience like after you get such a good quality teach?
You know what? Monique is actually very good at teaching. So if she's reading out loud, I can pick up on it. But if she's reading out loud, she can't pick up on what she's reading.
So I'm the exact same.
Yeah.
But Monique.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's the strangest thing.
And so for me, I was having a great time. It's just everyone.
So you actually had a decent experience.
Yeah, we didn't make it through to the whole game.
We didn't.
Because
yeah, we called it.
It was, everyone was kind of trudging along. And as we said earlier, when the more buildings come out onto the board, it prolongs the rounds. And so we were already trudging through the game. The rounds were getting longer, and then we kind of just stopped.
Right. I think it's one of those games where it would, as a first-time player, it would somehow benefit you to maybe play it with somebody who is experienced, mm-hmm. because then they know the focus, right, of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they can walk you through sort of the progression of the game. Mm-hmm. Now, for the audience's sake, those rounds that you're talking about get triggered in a really interesting way. There is a timeline that you're following, but it's only progressed when you sell cows or bring cows to market all the way up there at the top of this rondelle track. Mm-hmm. And so if you're slowly progressing, if the group as a whole is going from building to building or really dealing with obstacles and rubble and maximizing every turn, this game could go a lot longer than if you have a lot of people sprinting to that finish line over and over and over again.
Right.
Exactly.
So this is a good coincidence, Moni, because I think that your appraisal of how you should learn this game is very accurate, because that's how I have gotten into Great Western Trail. I actually got taught this by a Puerto Rican friend of mine that lives near DC. And every time that I played this game has been with him. And I've never had a single hiccup the entire time. Like from the first go, everything was clear. Like he totally trounced me, but it still was very engaging. I understood everything that was going on. However, we've only played for two players thus far. I've never played this with a full ensemble of four, which I would like to, but I have a feeling that this game plays great at two, awesome at three, and okay at four. I don't know if that's true or not.
We've played it at all player counts.
I think three is probably my favorite player count.
Three is a good sweet spot. I think you're right about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what about you, Mr. Jesse Anderson?
Yeah, I have played this game once at three players.
Oh, how was that?
It was absolutely fantastic.
Nice.
So like you, Jan, I learned this game from someone who is very well adept and educated around it, knew how to not only teach the game and the systems. He's probably played it, I think he said 20 plus times, but also knew how to guide our hand and point out mechanics of the game without necessarily giving or mother ducking the players across the entire game state, right? So there were moments where we were maybe missing an obvious advantage for point scoring, or there were moments where, you know, moving rubble would be really, really good for us during that, you know, during that cycle. And we wouldn't have seen it until we'd already dipped through our very first play. So yeah, I've played it on TTS with a high quality teacher in our Discord community, and with three players. And yeah, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit later, but if anyone hasn't tried this one, do not read the rule book. Find someone to teach you, preferably in our Discord community, because there's a few people there willing to walk you through this game. And man, that TTS mod, like across the board, if you're even intimidated about purchasing and learning this on your own, that TTS mod is so well scripted.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And you know what, Jesse? That's actually a great point about particularly Great Western Trail. Like for people that want to teach this game, you really have to explain the strategies and you have to explain like what to watch out for, because if you don't, people are going to feel so left out of everything that's happening. That was it. Like, my teacher was fantastic, but I did not really know what I was doing until like the last turn of the game.
Well, so, I mean, I'm going to give a shout out to KP, who's one of the most active members in our Discord community. He listens to the show. I'm sure he'll be flattered. He did such a good job, but he still won by a solid 30 points or so. I think it was, you know, low 100s, then mid 70s for me, and then 60 or so for the third player. And he did an excellent job at teaching us, but I guarantee me going back into this game, understanding the end game strategy is I'm going to be such a more strategic and prolific player than that very first game cycle. But I don't think I would have ever tabled this one if I had to read the rule book specifically.
I don't know.
Some games, and I often find this with like point salady Euro style games, some games don't read well, but they teach really easily. This game is very, very easy to teach, but you have to know it.
Exactly.
Oh, dude, let's not even start on Maracaibo. My God. That was treacherous.
We're working on that one right now.
Yeah.
But speaking on that was part of our problem. Like, since none of us had played it, we were focusing on all the wrong things. We were so mesmerized by the board state and by the fact that you're going up this trail, because that was such a new concept, you know, for us. And so we were like, well, we just got to build all these buildings because that's what you do in this game.
Right.
So all we did was build these buildings, and now every round was forever.
I built two buildings.
Yes.
I built two buildings during the entirety of the game, and I honestly did not need anything else. I might have been able to play a little bit better with an additional building here or there, but I was very, very in and competitive in the game cycle with what I knew, with only those two structures. So since then, you both have continued to play this game a multitude of onces. how has this game grown in your collection, in your position, and what has the future experiences been like?
Well, the reason why we've played it so many onces is because on our channel, we're doing a series for this designer where we were playing through all of his games. And so we had to do more of like an in-depth study on that one.
I am so impressed, by the way, on your channel. One of the things that Jan and I are constantly jealous of is the fact that you two sit down and play not only some of the heaviest games in our space, but some of the best Euros in our entire industry. Jan and I love Euros. We really do. It's just when we spend couple time together, we want to like watch a movie, hold hands, go for a walk. We don't record videos and post them online.
Jesse, did you hear Monique?
Romantic.
Did you hear Monique's reaction? She went like, oh, I didn't know you guys liked Euros. Really?
That is really. She didn't react that way.
Well, you know, I knew Jan. I knew you liked Euros. I wasn't sure about you, Jesse. I knew you kind of did, but I didn't realize you liked them that much.
Yeah, I would agree.
No, I do. I really do. Now, I present myself as like the RPG flavor text, story driven.
Totally.
But I love board games. Like, I love the people. I love the environment. I love the puzzle. Great Western Trail was brilliant, and it executed on that Euro-y nature so well.
It does.
Yeah.
We just never cover them. And I think part of it is I hate learning games. I hate reading rule books. So that's one of the things that gets in the way. And I don't have a consistent player next to me. If Jan and I were close together, I guarantee we'd cover more Euros than we do. I mean, we'd cover probably 10 times the amount we do right now. But because I'm always bringing new people to the channel, which is great. It's a great fact. Like, I love doing it. But part of the challenge and obstacle with that is if we're bringing new people in to film for a single evening, 1 euro could occupy the entire filming space.
Yeah, totally.
And for the Great Western Trail to be a good game to bring to the channel, we need to play it once before dipping back into it.
Totally.
And so that obstacle, the fact that you all can sit down and as a couple can play a game one or two or three times before you're ready to bring it to the channel, we're just immensely jealous. But you were talking about how your future experiences with this game have been.
Bit. So, well, on that note, I just want to mention that that's pretty much the only reason why we do content, or like one of the biggest reasons why we do content.
Nice.
Is because we want to play Euros. It's like what's most fun for us. So we kind of force it, I think.
Yeah. And we our content is playthroughs. So we actually get to play the game, you know, and so that's why it, you know, it's really, really fun.
They got a winning formula, Jesse. Yeah.
It's important to us to do yours.
Learn something from them. I don't know.
Jen, it started at a healthy and committed relationship. I'm working on that. You're resistant. Either way, what's your continued experience with Great Western Trail been like?
So it was a rocky road for me specifically. Naveen, you've always loved it.
Yeah, I wanted to continue playing at that convention. So
yeah,
I've always liked it.
I think for me, I was a little bit traumatized from that initial experience. Mm. And my true Euro roots, I suppose, is Vital Lacerda, which is a different designer.
Oh,
and they design very differently. And so I'm used to that kind of crunchy brain mechanics, I suppose. And this game is very different. In this game, you have to find the strategy. You have to pick something and you have to run with it. You have to move with the board, you know? And so the fact that I think for me, the hardest part was the focus on selling the cattle and then realizing that that's not necessarily how you get all the points. You need to figure out where to get all the points because they're scattered everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that part was kind of difficult for me to grasp. So it took a couple of onces for me to actually make points.
Now, that's interesting because I love messy, open-ended games.
Yep.
Jen, you don't usually agree with me on this. And I think the trauma from having to teach this game has clearly impacted your initial impressions compared to the three of us who were all taught it.
Mm-hmm.
But Jen, does the breathiness of this one, like Monique's describing, does that take away from your enjoyment of this game? Because I really like that open-ended, let my brain sort of flow across the table state.
Dude, I'm so glad you finally threw it to me because I've just been waiting. I adore Great Western Trail. It is easily one of my top games ever.
Nice.
If I had a top 10, it would probably be in the top five, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this game, cool. I love. I love its aesthetics. I love the mechanics. I love the decision points that you're doing throughout it. I love the flow of the game. I love how every decision that you're making is always with some type of purpose, even if that purpose isn't clear immediately. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that you can take different routes and have completely different game experiences every time you sit down on the table with this one. I've supposedly heard that the cow strategy, there's a particular strategy. The cow strategy is overpowered. I've never had that happen, so I don't really care. But man, every time I sit down with this, it is just such a wonderful adventure. But it's also constrained, and that's why I love it.
Now, have any of you played with the expansions that are available?
No, not yet.
We did once.
Because I have heard that does open up and increase the enjoyment of this game. I mean,
really?
It opens up that town, that market phase and that railroad phase a little bit more.
It does.
Right?
Yeah, specifically when delivering, there's like a whole
it's an add-on board,
spider web board. Yeah,
yeah,
at the very top,
you can take pathways for your delivery instead of going down one single line.
Right.
That open endedness that exists on the board state. That translates up into the expansion,
yes,
correct?
Totally.
It does.
It's called the Northern
Rails. 48 hours.
How did you know that I'm currently on Amazon?
I saw your screen change. 48 hours.
Amazon,
you have a direct hold on ordering
this.
Anything.
Great.
No. Anything
Western.
We cover on the podcast, if it's the first, Jen, I swear to the cows.
Here we go. Ooh,
it's
on sale. It's for $25 only. Look at that.
What?
Buy now. Done.
It's in
done.
The cart.
It's done. It's it's shipping.
Oh,
it's actually shipping.
you guys
sold it to me.
It is good. He has a habit of ordering things on the podcast.
It's
like
my thing.
Literally while we're recording.
Like, you guys just sold this to me. An expansion that makes my favorite game even more enjoyable already. Having a spider web at the end where you're able to kind of grow out and do different things, more decisions. God, how can I not have had this already?
So let's dig into this a little bit more. I want to get even a little bit deeper. Monique, Naveen, what is your favorite and least favorite? So let's do both. Let's start with favorite. What is your favorite elements of this game? What stands out to you that makes it shine amongst some of the other Euros that you play?
That's a good question. I think that
I'm full of them.
I think my favorite part is the way that the deck building aspect works. I thought that was really clever. You know, your hand is full of cows, but it's just currency. They're currency. It's not like other deck builders. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really do much else besides that. And you're trying to curate it along the way before you get to Kansas City.
Do you read that as, because I was having this question while I was playing. It is an element of deck building, but very, very light deck building.
Mm-hmm.
You are trying to get your numbers catered in that deck that you're cycling through to be as rewarding as possible. Mm-hmm. But I saw it way more on that hand management side mm-hmm. than maybe specifically deck building. But I'm interested that you brought that up. Do you read this as a deck building game? Like, would you pitch it as like an element of a deck building game in here?
I wouldn't pitch it as a deck building game. I would say that there is a deck building aspect. And the reason why I don't necessarily think that it's only hand management is because, like, I've done the strategy in the past where you do the conductor and then you have an auxiliary action where you can remove a card from your hand. Mm-hmm. And so there is a strategy where you try to get like a couple of higher cows and then just like really hit that bonus action to move your train back and ditch the smaller cows. And so you are curating that deck so
you
that
can absolutely
every
customize
time
your deck.
You go around, you're just going to maximize your currency.
Yeah, your yield.
So yeah, that's the main reason why I think that it is truly, you know, partially a deck builder, but it's not a deck building game. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
You know, it's going to sound like a cop out, but it's exactly the same thing. It's that hand, you know.
It does. You're right. It does sound like a cop out.
It is. Yeah. But no, it is. It's
what a shame.
For me, I'm one of those people in deck builders. I have trouble exiling cards for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the little wimpy cards. For some reason, I'm like, but I could use it when I go to that spot that needs two jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, like why am I not just going to keep it for that moment? And so. That part for me, that min-maxing, okay, should I keep this card so that when I get to that spot, I can take that action once and for all and then get rid of this card eventually? That part for me is really, really exciting.
It's interesting because Jan and I both love deck builders. I mean, it is probably one of our favorite core mechanics outside of flavor text, which, of course, is the most important mechanic that any game can have. And looking at this game, I immediately got that deck building nature of it. And when in my one playthrough, I really wanted to strip those cards out of my deck, refine it. And I kind of went the opposite way. I went for buildings on the map and upgrading my hand size. So I had more control over the cycle of my deck,
good.
But I didn't. Yep. But I didn't actually strip it. So still that deck building element, but a very light application of it. For me, the most intriguing or captivating element of this game is, as you described it, the rondel pattern.
Darn it.
That cyclical nature. That, Jan, it's all right. This is a couples episode. Naveen copied Monique. You're going to copy me.
I'm
going to
couple out. Cyclical, is that what I'm going to do on couple
exactly.
out?
Exactly. You're going to cop out a little bit. That cyclical nature of this game, the way you're pushing up the same track in every element, every cycle, it starts to change and develop just a little bit more. I really was, I mean, that just for some reason scratched my brain in just the right way. Mm-hmm. I love that progression. I love the consistency of that story. And I love watching that game state, that board develop as you play. You're directly responsible for every game, for every action and game that you experience. Mm-hmm. Jan, you gonna couple out or Naveen?
Yeah, well, talking about that game state and the board change, it's amazing that in that game, everything is available to you. The information is all out there. You can see who you can hire in the future and at what time. So if you're like, okay, well, Monique is close to shipping, then if I hang back a little bit, I can buy that conductor that's a little bit cheaper than the one that's $9. Mm-hmm. I can hire him for $5.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'll just hang back for a second. And then also those you have those three options where you're going to put other tiles out onto the board. So those teepees can go out or the hazards. So you can kind of muddy somebody's perfect path. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it's still, you know, for a Euro that is pretty much consistent in the way that you play, it's attacky.
Mm-hmm.
There's
be.
Definitely some push and pull there, some offense, defense. It's interesting.
Okay, I'm not going to cop out. I'm actually going to go for another element that I really love about this game, which is the crescendo.
I
feel that this game is a swell from beginning to end. Every single time you start on that basic first tile, you're trying to do your very best to ramp up, and become more powerful before you get to Kansas. And that energy, that adrenaline that you get from doing like that huge cow turnout at the end is just so enthralling and exciting. You have all very different types of reaching Kansas, but Kansas in itself is a finality that I don't think I usually get in almost any Euro, right? Like the fact that I'm reaching the end of the road suddenly feels like even more things have opened up for me. So And I don't know, I feel proud if I'm able to get beyond like the first eight cities. I'm like, I did it. I did my own personal little goal. I put my disc at the very end of this track. I'm awesome. It just feels amazing. And the other thing that is also tied into Kansas, like basically I love Kansas, not the, like I might love the actual city. I'm talking more Kansas here. I love the idea that you can seed the board. You can choose what things go out. You can create the market as you go. And again, that idea that it's a player-driven, not necessarily, I mean, not player-driven economy, more player-driven time is so cool. I've had players that just rush to Kansas every single time and basically drown out everybody else.
Yeah, I've been, as I've grown as a gamer, the idea of crafting the game you're currently experiencing has become one of the most, like, if I was going to sit down and design a game, that would probably be one of the areas I spent the most time thinking about. How can I let the players control, basically give you a blank slate and say, build the game you want to play with the people you want to play it with. Now, Jan, swinging back in your direction, let's do this in a, you know, Rondell type of pattern, I suppose. Least favorite, buddy. What of one of your favorite games of all time, what doesn't hit right for you, or what might make this game wrong for some people who are now excited to check it out?
Well,
outside of, and we're just going to blanket veto that rule book because we spent enough time at the beginning that if you're going to play this game, play it with someone who already knows it. Don't be the person that decides to learn it.
Yeah, so I think because of the open-ended nature of this game, it's the type of Euro that feels a little bit sandboxy, and usually in Euros, there's always a hint of what to do. This one does not hold your hand as much. So if you're looking for a Euro that caters the experience or that grows with you, this is not going to be it. However, with that said, the game does start with a secret objective card, which is awesome. But I don't know if it's enough to really kind of navigate the waters as you're moving through this. I feel that also if you don't let it, this game isn't really take that, but the way that you place down buildings can be really scummy, right? Like it could be, you could basically tax out everyone's path. And that sometimes doesn't feel the best just because, you know, it's never a good feeling that you have to stop in a building that's not yours and take money. And I guess the other element that I don't know if I love is the set collection aspect of each one of the different each one of the different people. Again, I'm really nitpicking here because I love absolutely every single aspect of this game. Actually, you know what? It's not even that. I would say that besides the workers and the set collection aspect, it's more about the auxiliary actions that I don't feel I ever use almost. There's like half of them that I never touch for some reason. And it could be that I don't know enough about the game. But some of the auxiliary actions have never felt as necessary as maybe like the other half. Like there's just that I lean into.
I think I use two.
Exactly.
The auxiliary actions are like the secret sauce.
There you go. That's why I never win.
We didn't even touch on the player board and the decisions that you need to make when deciding which discs to remove off your player board. Do I want to increase my hand size? Do I want to, you know, increase the amount of spaces that I'm going to move forward on?
The ability to call your deck.
So the player board is interesting, but I mentioned that because it has the whole menu of the auxiliary actions. And I feel like that is like really the secret sauce in like, because you can land on somebody else's building or you can land on a hazard and you can take an auxiliary action when you do that. It's not like a dead space. So if you can time that properly with the proper auxiliary actions, that can be really, really powerful.
And you can maximize your auxiliaries too to get double the effect every time you do something, depending on what type of auxiliary action you want to focus on for that particular game.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing that I might like least about this game is totally going to be a cop-out. And I am going to apologize at the front for it. I think like you're pointing out right now, and like I saw after my very first play experience, there is a depth to the open-endedness of the strategy here that is going to reward 10 plays. Yep. It's going to record 15 plays with the same group of people. I think Jan and I, or you two sitting down, like if we were having a couples game, right? Like we're having a couples podcast.
Yeah, date night.
And we were able to play this 5, 6, 7 times within a few month period of time, I think every play would be better. And that's really good for an open world Euro like this, kind of a sandboxy Euro. It is bad if, like me, almost every game I play is with a new group of people. And I very rarely play the same game up to like 5 or 8 times, unless I'm really very, very focused on loving it for the community or reviewing it for the channel. And so there's a give take there. I really like the open-ended nature of this, but I also think it's probably one of the things that I don't like the most, because I don't feel like I'll really understand this game or be able to utilize the strategy of it until I've played it quite a few times.
Dude, but one thing that I will say about that, not necessarily as a counterpoint, but I don't care about winning this game because I just enjoy it so much.
Sure.
Like, the process of it is so fun.
I did not mind losing at all. The experience was incredible, but I would like to get my teeth into that strategy more. And if I'm a new player, and especially a player who does enjoy winning games or wants to feel super competitive, your first game, probably your second game, especially against an experienced player, it's going to be a wash. It's got to be. Mm-hmm. You have to approach this one with the assumption that you're learning for a better play experience the next two, three, four times you play.
Yeah. Right.
What do you all think? What are some of the sticking points for you?
The thing that we like the least. I kind of voiced
might make it wrong for some other players. Yeah. Like, we kind of give you an out there. It doesn't have to be least, but it could be. So we don't hype everyone up to go order this game like Jan already did.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I want another copy, actually. No, I'm
Well, I kind of mentioned some of the gripes that I had earlier, especially in the learning process. But I think now that we've played it a few once, probably the thing that would get to me the most is sometimes you can be a little bit pigeonholed. Like, if I want to do a certain strategy and the certain employees are just not available,
right.
especially in like higher player counts, and they just keep buying out all of the conductors, and now I can never move my train forward when I get to that space because I could just not buy a conductor.
That's more in a lower player count, I think. I think in a higher player count, there's going to be more opportunities to hire those people. That happened in our play, actually, on our channel, where Monique just bought all the conductors, and I was like, well, I don't have the money to pay for the 9, but I can buy a cowboy. Nice. For 5, so I guess I'm going to go cowboy. Next time the conductor was available, Monique had shipped to Kansas first, so she had first dibs by
she's
getting
in
out
position
there.
For
Yeah, in a two-player game, you can definitely do it on purpose. Like, I can just say, Naveen is never getting a conductor, and I'm going to use that strategy to the very end.
Yep.
But in higher player counts, it can definitely still happen, especially because when you get to Kansas City, you're choosing who goes out. So I can just say, I'm never going to put out a conductor. I'm going to try to have the monopoly on conductors.
Yep.
So that can be a little frustrating.
I'll have to say the very first building that was built in our game experience was just beyond that row of Indian tents.
Mm-hmm.
And the next two people who went to Kansas laid down, I think, 6 Indian tents during that next cycle. Like, Jan was talking about the take that nature of this game. We shut down that person's building for 50% of the game.
Nice.
So,
as
Naveen,
you should
what's
have.
On your mind on this?
Well, mine was the whole getting shut out of hiring because
still painful.
It's still painful, yeah. Because I was like, I know she's going to take this strategy, and she took the strategy, and there was nothing I could do about it. Well, I guess I could have technically jet setted past you,
right? My counter is you could have done a different strategy.
I could have done a different strategy.
Pretty bad, but
it was. I was thinking I was going to go a building strategy, but I don't know. People say the building strategy is very powerful also. I just cannot find a way to get it working. And I think for me, the building strategy is probably the least favorite part of the game for me.
So that might be the answer for you, right? In terms of how other people would maybe not like it so much, is that if you don't go for the strategy that maybe you were trying to formulate in your head, now you're forced to go down the strategy that you're not comfortable with. So that's kind of what happened with you, right?
Yeah. Because I didn't want to hire the builders just to then have to swap out buildings.
Yeah,
It was so cost prohibitive. Oh, man, that's the hard part for me. Is I want to try to have a game where I take the building strategy and I actually make it work. Can't do it.
So now that Jan's already ordered the expansion,
100%.
We didn't actually entirely get to your all's perception of it. Is the expansion a must play? Do you mix it in sometimes? You said you played with it once, you haven't pulled it in for every experience.
We don't own it.
We don't own it. Yeah,
it's a friend of ours. We actually don't even own the base game. We had borrowed it for our channel. Yeah, we had borrowed it just to do the deep dive.
Yeah, we'll take your second copy, Jan.
So Yes. When we had played the expansion, it was when we were still in the maybe the second ones.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
So if we were to play the expansion again, we would have a lot more, I guess, insight into
it. Yeah. Now that we know the base game better,
right.
How to call the deck, how to get to Kansas, how to make sales, definitely want to play with that expansion now.
Yeah. But yeah. Everybody like has been saying like this is a necessary expansion. So.
So good thing I already have it on the way. So that's great. And so let's go ahead and go to the premier question that we always ask in these shows.
There's one very important question.
It always has to happen. Did you enjoy it and would you play it again? And Monique, I'm particularly interested in you because I don't know if you've been clear or not yet if you actually like this game or not.
I want to specify, I want to double end this. Would you teach it again?
Oh, nice.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, that for me is an easy question. I love teaching and you're right. This one makes sense to teach. So I would teach this.
You'd go through that whole process of reading the rule book, prepping everything.
Oh,
I don't think
I
she needs
now.
To anymore.
I think now she's got it.
I'm saying like her current journey with this game, was that initial horrific experience worth that?
First impressions matter.
Was that initial first impression worth what it is now?
Where you've gotten to. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Because where I am right now and where I was that day, it's like it's like heaven and hell.
No, you're in Kansas. You're in Kansas now, right?
Yeah.
Also, it was the pressure of being at a con. Your con time is so valuable.
It's true.
So if you're sitting down and trudging through this rule book and you're like, guys, there's like 100,000 games that we could be playing right now that we're not trudging through this.
Yeah.
That's kind of that pressure that was put on.
Right.
So I totally disrupted, though. One more time, Jan. Send that question her way and then I'll shut my mouth.
Naveen and Monique, did you enjoy it and would you play it again?
I enjoyed it. I would definitely play it again. It's still not my favorite Euro, but I would say that I have come to a point in our relationship where we are now friends. I enjoy this game.
For a second, I thought you were talking about Naveen. I was like, wait,
I was like, wow. Yeah.
We started as friends. We're still working on the relationship part, but I appreciate that journey. I can relate to that.
And you?
And what about you, Naveen?
Yeah, well, for me, I liked it at first. I love it now. And Jan, when we meet up, I want to play your copy with the expansion.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like a meeting that has to come together.
100%. Now we know that whenever Before You Play and Quackalope are on the same channel, the same screen, it's going to be Great Western Trail.
Just only,
So, Jan, did you enjoy it? Would you play it again?
No, I think it's actually one of the worst Euros ever invented. I want to burn it, actually. No, I love this. Everything about this game is pure perfection for me. I don't even know why I'm so invested in cows, but I love the cows in this thing. I love everything, absolutely every single aspect. I wish I could play this almost every week. I just don't have anybody to play it with, but I would literally just play this at once every week if I could.
So, and I'll answer the question as well.
Uh-oh.
It is very rare. TTS is an interesting platform.
Uh-oh.
TTS is 30% longer and 30% worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
TTS is not a platform where I leave a game experience questioning if this one deserves a spot in my top 10. This game is so good.
Yes!
It's so good.
I knew you would like it!
Not only did I enjoy it, but I would go out of my way to play it again on TTS.
Wow.
And that's worse than, I mean, that says a lot for a game like this.
Biggest commendation you could give.
I have a very hard time pulling together a top 10 list, but we're working on something very special for next year as I prepare for this road trip. And I do need a top 10 list for some of the content we're working on. This one might just, I need to play it a few more times, but it is really, really competitive.
Oh, man.
Wow, that is saying a lot.
So this one might end up in your trunk on your drive, huh?
No. Do you want me to? I mean, listen, there's not a lot of people that listen to this podcast. It's, you know, a small 1,000 or so that tune in. And so I'll let everyone have a little bit of insight into what I'm planning. And if anyone copies me, well, I claimed it first here. Quackalope has yet to put out an official top 10 games of all time,
right?
Of my own collection. I will do that before we hit the road and change studios and stuff. But one of the things, not only because it's difficult, but one of the things that's kept me from doing that is I've had this idea of I want to put out a top 10 list, and in conjunction with that, give away every single one of my top 10 games from my own personal collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm slimming down my collection right now as I prepare for this road trip. Now, I can get games back. I'm not stressed about that. But it is that conundrum, right? It's that thing you don't want to let stuff go. Well, I've got to. And so in preparation for this cross-country 50-state road trip extravaganza, probably 2 months or 3 months into next year, I'll be putting out a top 10 list, and I'll be giving away every single one of my favorite games.
Wow. So someone's getting a free Kingdom Death is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Someone once again will be getting a free Kingdom
Death.
That
is awesome.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now, do you have anything in there that's completely out of print?
Ooh.
Some that might be.
Okay.
Russian Railroads?
I have a few that are competing. Russian Railroads is competitive. Dogs of War, I'd like to play a few more times because it may be on that list. Townsfolk Tussle, I think, deserves to be there. I have to ask if I'm allowed to give away their prototype.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure that I'm comfortable or willing to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some questions when it comes to how I formulate my top 10, and does a prototype copy count? Does that, like, maybe I just exclude that for the sake of excluding it, because Endless Winter would be competing there. I'm not sure. I'm not sure on a lot of things.
Chinatown.
This is where I struggle. I'm okay. I've given away 3 or 4 copies of Chinatown.
Wow, really?
I'm okay with that one. Yeah, I've bought that game and given it away. It's such a good game.
Fantastic.
But yeah, I'm not sure. And luckily enough for me, I still have one unopened copy, well, semi-open copy of Kingdom Death that I did an unboxing of. So, like, that's the golden child that I'm able to give away without sacrificing my own personal copy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Everything else, I feel confident enough thinking that I can get it again somehow.
Okay.
It might just cost me a lot more later.
Yeah.
And guys, that has been an entire show.
We did
How
it.
Do you feel?
Yay.
Wow, we made it.
I feel good. I feel like playing Great Western Trail.
Yeah.
Oh, can we?
I'd love to.
There's a TTS mod I've heard is really good.
I love a 4-player. Honestly, if you ever are just craving a good TTS game with some other humans, I'm totally down for like a joint. We could even announce it and advertise it in the community.
Sure, yeah.
I'm down for a joint TTS of Great Western.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
All that being said, let's bridge this onto a bonus episode. God's Love Dinosaurs, anyone?
Actually, Jesse, you know what? I do have a question for you. Did you plan the second phase of this date? We like the podcast was the first phase. Are we going to get a movie now? Are we all cooking together? Like, what are we going to do?
God, I got to check the turkey.
You forgot the turkey?
All that being said, for people that got to this part of the episode and are wanting more,
turkey,
Jan,
of course. Yes.
You and I, like, I actually enjoyed God Loves Dinosaurs, and you won remarkably.
Yes.
I thought it was a pretty good game. Monique, Naveen, that was going to be the original talking point of this.
Oh,
we don't
God.
Have to dig in. We don't have to get into depth on it.
Sure.
But where's your sticking point?
It's an enjoyable game, but there's not, it kind of builds and then it retracts. And sometimes in games, I want it to just keep building and get more
juicy.
Yeah,
that swell that Jen was mentioning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe it's the opposite. It's a clever game, but the enjoyment is where the concern is for me. Because it's very clever.
I think part of my experience with it, and part of the reason why I enjoyed it, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up, I enjoyed it because it was fairly accessible, lightweight, had really cool minis, didn't overstay its welcome too much, right? Like, Jan did dominate us, but
I
really
completely trounced
slotting pieces in and discovering this world and consuming rabbits and moving my predators around. But it is so far away from your typical, like, it's so far away from a Euro game, which is where you all excel, and so far away, like, the opposite of what Great Western Trail is.
That's true. I think it's a beautiful weight. This is a really, really nice weight, and we do try to look for games of that weight also, because it's much faster to play. You can get in and out of it, and the production value is gorgeous. Like,
it's a really pretty game.
I did a really good job. But it's just that, exactly that. It's the tempo. Like, with Great Western Trail, the tempo is beautiful. You know, it's especially for a heavy game like that, everybody just goes. You just go and go and go. And this one, it is a lot of building and destroying, and that destroying kind of deflates the feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
it deflates the moment.
So. I don't agree at all. I actually when I played, I had constant resources to go through. Mm. I not once had a turn that I could not do something with. I had four T-Rexes at the same time running around.
Wow.
I was able to always eat all my predators, always caught at least two pieces.
I think he broke the game.
Disgustingly good.
Oh, okay.
It's the type of puzzle game that just clicks for me. So I had a lot of fun with it, and I never saw a lack of resources. However, well, with that said, I did see a barren wasteland around me.
Everybody else.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody else was struggling a lot to gather those resources. And I was curious if it was either the drafting that was creating those issues or positioning that was creating those issues. I'm not sure. I was too focused on my thing. I actually, Jesse had stood up for a little second, and I made him like 5 points and when he was away. So I probably should have helped him more.
I think it's because you're a planner. So you just planned everything.
So Jan,
full circle.
Jan likes,
full circle.
Jan
we
likes
just reached Kansas again.
I like thematics. And you both like those Euros. Mm-hmm. Like Monique, it sounds like you like crunchier strategic Euros that kind of
love
give
them.
You a way to excel.
Yes.
And Naveen, you might be a little bit closer to me. Mm-hmm. It seems with like open-ended, open world can be fun to play in. You want to be able to explore with your mind.
Exactly. Yep.
But Great Western Trail sung all of those bells.
It did.
It sung enough of
Such
all of those puzzles,
because
thematic for me, it worked so well. Whereas something like God Loves Dinos or God Loves Dinosaurs, it didn't quite hit that strategic Euro thing, but it did get that abstract puzzle that Jam was looking for, and he did so good. But I guarantee he wasn't imagining a hawk soaring down from the sky or a pterodactyl soaring down from the sky and picking up two little rabbits in their claws and ripping their heads off. That's what I was doing, and that's what I enjoyed.
And so, guys, before we finish everything off, how about you give us a little bit of an idea of where people can reach you, where do I see before you play, where can I access and talk to you.
I'm pretty sure everyone's already aware of them.
Well, just in case, Jesse.
Yeah, thank you. We are everywhere, I guess, on social media at Before You Play. So youtube.com/beforeyouplay. We're on Instagram and we're on Twitter, but it's Before You Play_ because somebody else has that somewhere.
Yeah, they cyber squatted
that. Audacity.
Yeah, the audacity. And Facebook as well. But that's pretty much us. And primarily awesome. Two-player playthroughs is what we do these days.
With reviews at the end as well, which
with
is a really cool
again.
Format.
Yeah,
it's a full circle again. We're always doing the full circle. Jesse, what's that smell?
Oh, God, the turkey!
This latest failed attempt at bringing you quality entertainment was brought to you by the Quackalope Podcast. We love to hear from you, so don't forget to leave a review and subscribe. If you'd like to connect with us, follow us on any of our social channels or visit our website. But regardless of what you do, remember to do the important thing. Get out and play some games. Until next time.